here far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross for the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it on dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, with blood so divine, such a wonderful beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will never be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. And he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. He is coming back again. Oh yes, he's coming back. He's coming back again. Glory, hallelujah. Bless his name and lift him up. Praise God. He's coming back again. He is coming back again. Oh yes, he's coming back. Coming back again. Glory, hallelujah. Bless his name and lift him up. Praise God. He's coming back again. Praise God. He's coming back again.
Dean Stevenson, one of our deacons, will be delivering the message here later on in the service, and we're very thankful for Dean and his willingness to come and to share what God has laid on his heart.
Good morning, everybody. All right, if you guys could open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, we're going to be covering verses 36 through 44. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready for the Son of Man, for he is coming at an hour you do not expect. So if you didn't gather from the children's message and kind of the titles and stuff like that, but the message is going to be on being ready and being prepared. I was trying to think of an apt story I could tell you guys, kind of break the ice so I'm not so jittery. So I think some of you guys know that I took my family over to the UK in June. And we've never been abroad and doing that sort of thing. In the Marine Corps I was, but that didn't count. But I took the family over there, and we took a bus from Paris to London. And we ended up getting to London and had to learn how to do their subway or tube system. And, of course, we got there with our carry-on luggage and our backpack, and we got there at rush hour. And if you guys don't know, there are a lot of people in London. I think I looked, there was 8 million people in London this morning when I was trying to look that up. But there's a lot of people there, and they apparently don't mind being close together. In Wyoming, we don't really like touching each other, but apparently they don't mind. So we get our luggage, and we get down in front of the train that we had to get on, and the door opens, and these people are all just packed in like sardines. And there's no way we're going to fit on, and we're all four of us are trying to get on the same train. And like 10 other Londoners squeeze in and somehow made it on. Well, we go like four times, and we can't get on these trains. And we're like, we're never going to get to our hotel. And so I go ahead. Well, we come up with a plan that Taylor and I kind of knew all the instructions on where to get go, So we kind of split up. Taylor was going to take Katrina, and I was going to take Taryn. And the deal was, we're going to get on the two different doors of the train, but we had to get on. Well, in retrospect, I never had a plan. I had the address. Taylor didn't have the address for the hotel. I had all the knowledge. I had my phone turned on. None of the other family's phones were turned on. We were not prepared to be separated in a town with so many people. But the deal is, we have to get on the train. So the doors open, and Katrina and Taylor are able to get on their train. And all I could do was get Taryn's bags pushed on so the door would close. There was no way, unless I started fighting people, I was going to get on that train. So I screamed the name of the station for Taryn to get off a couple times, and I was hoping he was paying attention. And I go back to the train car, and I wave at Katrina and Taylor. And they're like, oh, well, Taryn's probably with him. He'll catch the next train. No, Taryn wasn't. So I get on the next train, and there's a woman there crying because her 13- or 14-year-old daughter and their 9-year-old son was crying, too, because they got bumped off of the – she got bumped off the train because that's how – it was packed. Anyway, so the whole 20-minute ride there, I'm going, okay, I hope Taryn got off on the right station. I hope – you know, all these things that I'm going through, and I'm already watching some lady cry. I never did find out if they ever got reunited, but I'm hoping they did. But it could have been bad, but Taryn got off where he was supposed to. We were able to get on the, get everybody back together. And Believe me, right after that, I pulled everybody aside in the tunnel there, and I said, if this ever happens again, we will do this. You know, I was told them to go to the end of the line so that we could find each other again. We never had it happen again, but it was obvious we did not have a plan, and it could have been a disaster, but it wasn't. But with our eternal salvation, do we want to be happenstance on how we plan our lives? So this, I know this passage is talking about the end of the age, but we don't know at any point when each one of our breaths are controlled by God. We don't know how many breaths we're going to have. We don't know our day and an hour that the Lord is going to take us. So, who in this room has a will and a testament? So I did a little bit of studying on this. About 64% of Americans don't have a will prepared. And they're not ready in case they pass away. I think all of us know that we've known people that have passed away suddenly and they didn't have a will ready and they left their family with a big mess. And why is it we don't have our wills ready and things like that? We don't want to think about issues with our end to come and the judgment to come. And that's because Satan uses his best tool is to distract us and keep us from focusing on the truth that there is judgment to come. He doesn't want us to face the truth. He wants us to live our own lives and be distracted. Sometimes it's not even being distracted with bad things. It's just being distracted from the truth. And we need to be focused on what God needs us to focus on. And I don't know if you guys knew that Jesus really wants us to understand the reality of what things are going to happen when we go to meet him. And he talks about judgment and hell more than anybody in the scriptures. He wants us to make sure that we are doing everything we can to make sure our heart's in the right condition to meet him. So, have you guys ever heard the term fire insurance in talking about Christian terms? So a lot of times people will get enough of Jesus so that maybe they'll escape hell because they said the believer's prayer and they said, you know, I believe in Jesus, but they don't let Jesus change their hearts and make him part of you. You have to be able to have a relationship with Jesus to get on the right side of the gate. It's not about saying a prayer and saying some words and trying to be a good person. It's about having that relationship with Christ. Fire insurance doesn't work. I don't know if you guys have seen that commercial on TV with Farmers Insurance where it says, you thought you were covered for this, but in reality, you're actually covered for this. Well, you need to understand what your insurance policy is covering you for. You need to know that Jesus is in your heart and actively changing you day by day. Verse 37, that as in the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be at the coming of the Son of Man be. So I often, my brain kind of works funny, and when things happen around me, it makes me think about realities in life. So most often it seems like the power goes out when we're at work. And I might be engrossed with talking to a customer or doing a report of some sort or figuring it out. And it seems like the most important thing I'm doing right in front of me is what I'm doing. And then the power goes out. My perspective on life changes like that. And I always reflect on, is that going to be like when Jesus comes around? You know, everything was so important, but now I have to change my focus. If I'm at home, I'm wondering, well, how long is it going to be off? Do I got to get the generator started? Are my freezers going to, my meat going to go bad? Or at work, I have to worry about, okay, well, I got a whole bunch of people here that need to be working, and I want to make sure that I have to send them home or have them bide out an hour until the power comes on. You know, so there's just a total different perspective. Can you guys all think about back when the planes ran into the Twin Towers? What you were doing? Your perspective changed forever where you were at. You you were living your life as you normally were, and then that horrible incident happened. And that's here in Wyoming. New York's a long ways away. Picture the lives and how that impacted, and their perspectives changed forever when they were, you know, the people that were touched more closely to it. Everybody's had a sudden death in the family where you'd like to go, well, shoot, I can't believe this happened. You know, it's a horrible thing to lose somebody and not be prepared. And I know that when you lose those people, the worst things that I always think is, I wonder if that person was a Christian. Isn't that a horrible thing for a Christian to think, not even knowing that somebody you knew and cared about was saved? So we have to make sure we are ready and not leaving ourselves unprepared. Do we live our lives as if judgment will never come? You know, I know if my kids never expected us to double check or come home and we told them to clean the room, they wouldn't clean their room because they never thought we would hold them accountable. So is that the way we are with God? Do we not believe that God will someday hold us accountable? We need to live as if Jesus is coming back. We need to be ready for judgment. Why do we put our salvation and the people we care about aside? Verse 40. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So what do we need to do? You know, there's 100 things we need to do, but mainly we need to stop lying to ourselves and make sure that our hearts are prepared. We need to tell ourselves the truth. I listened to a story on the radio about a lady that I thought about this while we were doing the last song, so I haven't practiced this part a little bit in my brain, but she had a condition of her heart where her mom passed away like when she was 30, and she's already been diagnosed with this, and she's going to be passing away at a period of time, and I don't know the exact times, but she told the people on the radio that she was being interviewed with, I don't have time to worry about stupid things. I don't have time to be mean and nasty to people. You know, really, isn't that the perspective all of us should have? We don't know our hour. She might have known her hour, but we don't know our hour. We don't have time to have hatred in our hearts for anybody. We should just be take our time that we need. We need to face the hard truths. Who likes to think about this sort of thing? You know, you got to know that the truth is coming. We need to make sure we're talking things over with Christ. So I put this message title as, Is It Well With Your Soul? And the reason I did that is because for a long period of my life, I was walking with fire insurance. When I was a kid, I got shot when I was 12. And I remember going, well, Jesus will take me home. I knew Jesus, but I walked my life as if I didn't love him. And when I was 30 years old, my life changed because I realized I was just walking with fire insurance. And things that helped convict me to change me and to get God to save me was my grandpa Pearl Patterson. He would be sitting over there in a pew over there, and he would always go, Dean, there's a spot saved for you for church Sunday. And every time I'd come to church, inevitably, It Is Well With My Soul would come on, and I would listen to that song, and I struggled with it because that song would come on, and I'd try to sing. I love the hymn. I love the tune, but I couldn't sing it because I knew I'd be lying if I sang that song. It wasn't well with my soul. And we need to reflect on our own hearts. You know, when we're going to, I had them play this song last, but I want you guys to reflect on that. If it's not well with your soul, don't sing the song. I don't care where you guys go. Sometimes it's embarrassing to come up front in a church. I got saved working at my bench at work. I was turning wrenches, and that's where God slapped me. You know, It doesn't matter where you get right with Christ. Just make sure you are ready and you are right. And be honest with yourself. Don't sing the song if it's not well to your soul, don't sing it. If it is well, let's sing the song to our heart's content.
Descend, even so it is well.